We're back with episode number 32 with this young hustler named Greg Clunas.
Welcome to the Hustle to Greatness podcast. I'm your host, Luke Sisselbach, and each week I'll be bringing special guests who will inspire and give us step-by-step action tips on how to hustle our way to greatness. My mission here is to help you to call the shots in your own life and to live your life on your own terms. Follow me on this journey to greatness while picking the minds of these brilliant entrepreneurs. Let's get you from being good to great.
Welcome back, Hustle Talk family. I got a very, very brilliant guy that I want to introduce you guys to today. His name is Greg Clunas, and this guy is amazing. He's gonna talk about how to leave your 9-to-5 by creating a side business and upgrading your side hustle so you can leave that 9-to-5 and, you know, just kill it. I mean, he's been doing it for a while, and he finally left his position. But I'm going to let him talk about that. He's also, another thing I want to add before Greg, before I introduce you, Greg, well, I'm introducing you right now, but before Greg introduces himself, is he has an awesome podcast. Like, I mean, he just started this recently, and it's already in the What's Hot in Health, and it's number 17 on the list. Now that's crazy, and I don't even know when did you start this, Greg? This is amazing.
Yes, yeah, so the show officially launched January 1st.
January 1st, wow.
Yeah, we crossed 15,000 downloads today, so 20 days in, and yeah, it, for whatever reason, it's been taken off. So I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, that's crazy because I want to talk about that too afterwards. But let's get into, you know, who Greg is and what did you do in the corporate world and how you, you know, just walk us through what you were doing in the corporate world and what your side hustle was.
Yeah, sure. So I want to sort of preface this with my age. So I'm 23 years old. So what that means is that I didn't spend that much time in the corporate world. I'm really fortunate in that I knew from a very young age, the age of 13, that wasn't the direction I wanted to go with my life. So I did still have to graduate college and go and do that for a little while, but I was fortunate enough to sort of cut that time down a little bit. So when I was working full time, I was in the marketing department of a very small software company. And we created software for commercial real estate. When I say very small, I mean, there was maybe 40 people total, and I was one of two people in the marketing department. So my job was everything from social media to blogging to content creation to email marketing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, my overall role was to find a way to support the sales team with digital strategies. And I did that for a little bit over a year, maybe a year and 2 months or so. And finally, this past December, I was able to sort of make that leap confidently and start working for myself exclusively.
That's crazy. You know what? We actually have a lot in common because when I started getting into the first experience I had with marketing was working for a small real estate firm as well, but we were doing residential real estate, and I was doing marketing for them. This more direct response type of marketing, and it's crazy how I didn't even know that. That's cool. Like I come from the same path, and that's what kind of catapulted my career in marketing, and it became something that I love so much that, you know, I'm always learning new things and I just love the numbers when I'm generating these leads and closing these leads. I created a sales process for these guys, and we, in our second year in 1 year's time, we did 320 deals. So, I mean, I still love the marketing game. But yeah, no, sorry about that. I digress a little bit, but that's something we have in common.
What's funny is based on that story, you were actually a lot better at it than I was. while I was there, it's a combination of factors, but while I was there, it's unfortunate that I wasn't able to produce some of the results that I would have liked to. You know, you live and you learn. That's the nature of the game.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the hustle is a journey, right?
And, exactly.
You
know,
and you, and for you to be 23 and understanding that, because when I was 23, I didn't understand that. I was more like, you know, let's get this money. You know, I was what I was doing is I was feeling like success was a monetary value and the things that I buy and things like that. So, you know, I ended up not managing my money too well at that age anyways. And, you know, I learned the hard way, but now, you know, fast forward over 10 years now. So, I don't want to talk about my age too much, but, I'm still trying to get that, down pat. So, When you were doing this corporate gig with these commercial real estate guys, what was your side hustle? What made you think of doing a side hustle? Or was it something that you specialized in already? And that's where the idea came from?
So this is sort of a little bit of a longer story. So bear with me just a little bit.
No problem, man.
So while I was doing it, the main side hustle that allowed me to sort of walk away and build up enough capital to fund what I'm doing now was web design and web development, specifically for WordPress.
Cool.
However, as I'm sure the listeners of this show know, especially in the freelance world, your money is coming from multiple different sources. So you may be doing a little bit of web design, a little bit of graphic design, a little bit of podcast editing, et cetera, et cetera. And all of these skills are things that I was fortunate enough to pick up along the way. So I mentioned earlier that I went to college. While I was in school, I actually studied six different majors before finally picking one to graduate with. So I started as a marketing major. Went to computer science, went to IT, psychology, economics, and then I finished art. And marketing, of course, helped me to solidify some of the things I had already known and learned from reading. But really where the web design came from was when I was a computer science major. So I learned how to program, and that translated extremely well to picking up web design. And if it wasn't for the time spent in college where I was just sort of jumping around between majors, not really sure what I wanted to pursue, I wouldn't have had any of the skills I needed to pursue those side hustles that then allowed me to make this jump. So ultimately, it's not so much that I specialized in anything or that I had past experiences with any one thing. It was just these random skills that I picked up that at the time I didn't think anything of. But fast forward 4 years later, and I was able to utilize it because it was valuable to the marketplace.
Man, that's a true hustler, man, right there. Yeah, I've always been the type, and I believe a lot of entrepreneurs are. You know, they have this thirst for knowledge. I mean, even though you know you might not have known what you wanted to do at that time, and sometimes you know things change, right? You don't need to know what you want to do at that time. So just that thirst for knowledge, and you know, it just comes to you after a while, after doing multiple things. And I really like that story because I speak to a lot of my friends, and like, yeah, Luke, man, I don't know what I want to do. You know what you want to do. You know, you're all set. I'm like, dude, it's not like that. You know, it took me a long time to narrow down, and go to the path that I want. I'm not necessarily there. It might change later on, but you know, I had to try so many different things before, you know, I kind of started focusing on some certain projects and a certain niche, if you know, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, and you know, really quickly, one of my favorite quotes is by Steve Jobs, and it was from one of his commencement speeches, and I can't remember it word for word, but essentially what he said is that you can only join up the dots when you look backwards. You can't do it looking forwards.
Mm.
So in the same scenario, when I picked up web design in my sophomore year of college, simply because I wanted to start a tech startup and I figured I should understand how programmers speak, that was the only reason I did that. I was never and have never been passionate about web design. But fast forward 4 years later, web design is the thing that allowed me to transition into what I'm doing now. And now I don't even take on web design clients. So it wasn't about passion. It was about opportunity and a skill set that was valuable to the marketplace. But there's no way in hell I would have been able to look forward 4 years ago and say, oh, well, this is going to be valuable to me at this particular time. I can only do that now looking backwards.
I love that. I love that. That's great. And thanks for sharing that. Now, you know, we spoke a little bit before the podcast, before the recording. You were working like 12-hour days as well as doing your freelance gig. So how did you do this, man? Like, what were the first steps that you took to, I know it was, you know, the opportunities came, but what were the first steps for you to start, you know, managing your time? Because you were killing 12 hours per day and then still doing the freelance on the side. So how did you do it, man?
Yeah. So, I mean, with me, it's, and I'm sure a lot of the people listening to, if you're choosing to listen to a show like this, I know this is going to apply to you. I get a lot of joy out of always having something else that I'm doing. So if I'm working a 9-to-5 job, I have to have something on the side that's for me. I get a lot of pleasure and a lot of joy out of having that. So when I decided last June or so that on the side thing was going to be building a freelance business, it wasn't really an issue of how am I going to manage this? This is so many hours. This is so much work. It was, I need to do this for myself. And once I sort of made that realization, it wasn't really a problem anymore. But down to some more practical stuff, on a day-to-day basis, what it really comes down to is, number one, you have to be willing to put in the work every single day. And it's going to get hard on a lot of days. But if you don't put in the work that day, that could be the day that derails everything else. So you have to be willing to show up. You have to be willing to put in the work. And number two, only take on the things that make you feel uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is so many times during that 6-month period, I thought that if I took on this client, there's no way in hell I was going to be able to fulfill the order because I had X number of clients plus working full time, plus I have a family that I want to spend time with and I have my girlfriend and so on, so on. And so there was a level of not feeling comfortable with taking on an extra client. But especially in the world of freelance, you have to do that. You have to constantly put yourself in that position of being uncomfortable simply because with web design, it's not a recurrent thing. Once a client's done, you get paid and that's it. So you need to have the next client lined up. The best way to do that is to have overlap so that you're constantly filling in that pipeline. And that's what's going to eventually push you to the point where you either break from all the pressure, and if that's the case, you can scale back, or you're able to push through it and get to whatever plateau you've decided on for yourself.
Okay. I like that. I like how you said, you know, it might break you. And you said, you know, if it's too much, it's okay to step back, right? I find, you know, a lot, I did this a lot before as well, is put a lot of pressure on myself. And when I didn't meet the goal that I wanted to meet, and I don't know if it broke me or not, maybe you could say that, I would get, like, I'd get so angry, right? And I'd be a very angry, grumpy person. But then I'd pick myself up and go back and do it. I'd have my girlfriend tell me, hey, Luke, you know, you're going a little too hard. You know, maybe just scale down a little bit and take a, you know, take an overview look at it and then approach it in a different way when you're more calm and not so emotional. But I like that you can scale back because it's okay, right? I mean, because sometimes if you go too hard, like for some people, I'm not saying everybody, but if it can actually break you, right? Because you're not seeing results as fast as you want to see them.
Yeah. And you know what? The beauty of a side hustle is that if it does break you, even if it's not minor, if it's a major breakdown, you're okay because your bills are paid. Yeah. That's why it's a side hustle. So you can stop doing freelance work for 6 months if you need to and just work on your emotional health and your physical health and your relationships and then jump back in when you feel well again. Like, you can do that because you don't have to worry about your bills being paid. So absolutely. Can I tell you guys a story really quickly?
Yeah, go for it.
So this isn't my first time quitting that job. December of 2014, I walked away from this job, the same job. And I thought that I was ready to pursue this life of being self-employed and working for myself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in the beginning, it went pretty well. I had X number of clients lined up. I knew what work I wanted to do. And I was bringing in a little bit of cash, enough to be okay. Come February, completely out of cash, burned out, had to go back to the same job. And that experience of having to go back completely broke me. For a period of about 4 or 5 months, I did nothing on the side because I felt like I need to give up on this entrepreneurship thing. I need to give up on starting something for myself because clearly it's not for me. Clearly I'm not the person that's capable of doing it. Over the course of those 4 or 5 months, if it wasn't for the support of my girlfriend and my mom and my dad and my relatives, essentially just pointing out that you don't have to stop here. You can just try again when you feel like you're ready to. I don't know whether or not I would have picked myself back up on my own. But they showed me that even if you break down completely, so long as your bills are paid and so long as you can eat and so long as you have a place to sleep and a place to try again, you can pick yourself up and try again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I love that. Greg, you know, you've done a lot at the young age of 23. You've been through a lot. You've done a lot, and you know, you've done a lot in your business as well. You sound like a very wise man. You don't talk like you're a 23-year-old. How did you develop this? Where is this coming from? Is it reading a lot of books, or what is it? The way you were raised?
I'd say it's a combination. So I think I mentioned earlier that I've been sort of involved in the personal development and self-help and entrepreneurship space since I was 13. And that was completely thanks to one of my older brothers. He's about 10 years older than me. And I was visiting him in Florida that summer. And he, at the time, he was a really ripped guy, like personal trainer. Little 13-year-old Greg was terrified of him. So he told me that by the end of that summer, I had to read this book. And it was a pretty big book. It was Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Great book. So that sort of started everything. And I had my first business idea that summer, failed at my first business idea that summer, and just started reading those types of books, as well as entrepreneurship and marketing books, as much as possible. So a lot of it is, I would like to say, borrowed wisdom, if anything, because I haven't had many of the life experiences that these authors have had, but I'm able to look at what they've done and make decisions based on their information rather than my own. So I would say it's borrowed wisdom. And I would say that a lot of the stuff that I do have for myself that comes from my own experiences, it just comes from trying as many things as possible. I've never been the person that resonates with the idea of finding your passion. That's actually been a very dangerous idea to me because there's so many things I'm interested in that the idea of narrowing it down to one has always sort of bothered me. And so I spend a lot of time today and when I was in college and when I was in high school and for as long as I can remember, I've spent a lot of time focusing on just trying whatever weird or crazy idea pops into my head and seeing how it gets received. And if people hate it, they hate it. If they like it, they like it. The things that people like, I try and push further. And the things that they hate, I very quickly move on from because I know that that's not the perfect idea. The next idea is going to be just as good.
So Amir, we've been talking for about 20 minutes now. What I'm getting from you, one tip that we should take away from Greg's experience here and the type of person Greg is, as well as many entrepreneurs, when they have an idea, it seems like you're the type of person that you see that opportunity and you'll analyze it a little bit, you know, do a little bit of research enough so that you can go out and do it. Right. So pretty much just do it. It sounds like a Nike commercial, but I feel like that's why you're so successful at such a young age, because you grabbed the bull by its horns and you just went out there and did it. And I really appreciate you sharing that story with us and everything, man. Like I said, man, you're a wise 23-year-old. I mean, and age is just a number, right? I mean, but man, like I don't speak to a lot of 23-year-olds that are as wise as you are.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Greg. So let's go back to your side hustle. Juggling that stuff, it could be quite daunting. Did you end up, when you started getting a lot of clients, did you outsource any of that stuff, like any of your tasks or the like, so you can leverage some of your time more?
Yeah, so I actually, very early on, when I first decided to, there was a period where I was essentially just freelancing in the form of whatever opportunity came, whether it was web design or media production or whatever skill I had. And around June is when I decided to double down on exclusively freelancing. And very early on in that time frame, I found a partner. It wasn't a formal partnership, but essentially when I had overflow, I would outsource that work to him. And it's this guy by the name of Spencer in Canada. So that helped quite a bit in the very beginning as far as being able to focus primarily on landing clients and handling the client relationship and all of the things that need to happen that are client facing and having someone else do the development and design. However, eventually I realized that if I wanted to make this push to leave my job by the end of the year, and this was in probably about September, if I wanted to really make this push, I needed to maximize how much income I was keeping, because all of that needed to go into this pile of cash that was going to be my runway fund. So I still have a relationship with Spencer, and when I'm able to, I do send him work. But for a period of about 4 or 5 months, I primarily did all of the work myself so that I could keep as much of the pie as possible in order to build to that runway number as fast as possible.
Right. So would you suggest, let's say, somebody, they're still in their 9-to-5 and they got their side hustle going and it's going well. Would you suggest them systemizing things? And if you do, what can they do to systemize the work that they're doing in their side hustle to leverage their time more?
As to whether or not I suggest it, I would say yes. It depends obviously on situation a lot. I was in a fortunate position that I don't have kids of my own. I don't have many people that are relying on me. So I could give away a lot more of my time. But if you are in a situation where you can't give away as much time, then absolutely you should be focusing on building out a system. As far as how you do that, it really comes down to figuring out what the process looks like when you do it. And the easiest way to do that is simply write it down or record yourself doing it. And you'd be surprised how many steps you take that you probably don't realize you take. That's a fun little fact. But anyway, write it down. Find somebody who can follow those directions, whether it be because they have the technical skills or they have just the ability to learn those technical skills. Personally, if I'm going to work with somebody who's going to be an integral part of my business, I want them to be better at it than I am, simply because it doesn't make sense to outsource it to somebody else who's going to produce the same work. So I would rather they be better than I am and as a result get paid for that skill level. But you can approach it whatever way you like. I know a lot of people with their businesses, it works perfectly fine to outsource to somebody who's maybe not as good or somebody who's in an assistant role, and that's fine as well. Whatever works for your level of comfort. So bringing it back on track, first step is to write down that process and figure out what steps actually need to happen in order for this task to be complete, and make sure you get as minute as possible. And then the second step is to connect with somebody, whether it be, when I met Spencer, was honestly, I found him on Craigslist, and then I did a phone interview and tested him out, and it worked out well. That may not work for everybody, but it can. So whatever way you're able to find somebody who's able to execute on that task list, reach out to them, give them a smaller project to test it out. And if it works, then you now have a team member that you can use to leverage their time as well.
Cool. Really cool. Really cool. Okay. Now, in your side hustle, while you were still working, how are you getting clients?
So it's really interesting because in the beginning, it was primarily referrals, which I think is the answer every freelancer would give you. But what I found is that as time went on, 80% of my clients were coming from Facebook groups. And this is something I find so interesting. I'm actually considering documenting it in some way. But I'm fortunate in that the service I was offering, web design, is very beneficial to people like us who are trying to start their own business. And as I'm sure you know, there are a million and one groups like that on Facebook. So it took probably 6 months of being active in those groups and talking to people and sort of building your name within that space. But eventually what starts to happen is people are posting in those groups every single day looking for your service, or at least that's what the case was with me. And all it takes is reaching out to them and you're good to go. If you're just starting, like this is your first client, one strategy that I used to sort of bridge that gap, especially if there was no portfolio work, was offering the service at a price point that is completely unfair to you. And that's another benefit that having a side hustle allows you to do, is that your bills aren't related to this. So you could theoretically do web design for $25 if you wanted to, so long as you can make sure the value is worth it in the end for you. And that may be in the form of getting those testimonials, of getting those referrals, of getting future work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's great, because I definitely believe in testimonials, and I did that too in my first side hustle. Was I did things for free just to get that testimonial, and I was the easiest sell came when I had testimonials and showing what I was doing and the results that I've proven to the companies that I worked with. So I mean, yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm a big fan of free work or super low cost work, especially in the beginning, because time after time, what's happened is that free work leads to a referral that is worth much more than what the original client would have been worth. So perfect example, I did some super low cost social media graphic design work for a client last summer. And 2 months later, he referred me to my first big web design client that brought in $4,000 for that client. So that has happened multiple times. And it takes a little bit of time. You may not always be able to track exactly how it works out, but I'm a big believer that it always works out.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's beautiful. So now, so you're still doing the website. Now that is full-time, right? Your website design company.
Well, that was the original thought when I left. The thought was that web design was going to be my full-time gig. I've actually since moved away from web design. So income-wise, right now, I have three referral clients for podcast and media production. And that allows me to sort of stay afloat, essentially. Plus, I also have that runway that I worked so hard to build up. And we were just talking about my podcast. I'm actually at the point since launch that, especially since it's a 30 daily show, I'm going to be opening up sponsorship opportunities in February with the goal of starting to generate a certain revenue level per month. So right now, that is the podcast is my number one focus, and I have those three clients that take, I would say, 15% of my overall time in order to keep myself afloat.
Cool. So you mentioned your runway, and in the runway, you're meaning that bank that you created for you to leave, right? Okay, cool. So I want to go back to that a little bit here. So when you had that number in your head, how did you come up with that dollar amount to leave? So, and why did you come up with that number?
Yeah. So part of why I pushed to leave my job so suddenly was just because it was a very bad environment, that particular position. And I could have gone and found a different job, but after a while of trying that, I realized that if that's not ultimately what I wanted to do, then it doesn't make sense to waste somebody else's time. So that's part of why I pushed to leave as quickly as I did. And because of that push, I decided on 4 months of living expenses. So I calculated my student loans, rent, food, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I live in New York City, so it's a pretty expensive city.
Wow.
So I calculated all of that and multiplied it by 4. And what I realized was if I hit X number of clients in this time period, then I'm going to hit that 4 month number. And so that's why I put in that work to take on as many clients as I could in that short period of time. The reason I chose 4 months was because I didn't want to wait until I had 6 months, because I couldn't stay at that company any longer. If I were to give anyone else advice, I would say to go for a minimum of 6, because you burn through cash a lot faster than you realize.
Yeah.
So 4 months that you calculated may end up actually being 3.5 or 3. And if you find yourself in that position, it's not the end of the world, but you want to mitigate that as much as possible to begin with.
Cool. Yeah. And living in New York City too. Greg, man. That's crazy. That's crazy. And how long did this take for you to do this again?
It was a total of about 6 months from when I decided to double down on web design to when I was able to walk away.
6 months. Wow. Wow, that's crazy. While living in New York City.
Well, see, that was the beauty is web design is a skill that pays very highly per job, maybe not per hour, but per job. And since it was a side hustle, I didn't have to touch any of that money. So everything that came in just went into a separate bank account. And that's why I was able to build it up in 6 months, because my full-time job paid for everything else.
Right. Wow. Okay, cool. This is an amazing story, Greg. So my last question is, I don't know if you'd want to do this, if you want to change anything, do it all over again, if you went back. But if you did have to do it all over again, what would you do differently? And, you know, hopefully our listeners can take note and, fast track their side hustle as well.
I would focus on building an audience much sooner. My focus for all of last year was landing clients, which is a good thing, especially if you're trying to be a freelancer full time. But since leaving and switching my focus to building an audience and realizing how many more opportunities that opens up, I wish that this time last year, I wish I'd started my show this time last year, because who knows where it would be right now. And having an audience that resonates with your message and that loves what you're producing is basically a license to print money.
Mm. Very good. Well, thanks. Now, okay, that wasn't my last question. Now I just have to ask you this question. How do you build an audience?
What it comes down to is creating something and putting it out on a platform that has people looking for it. So in my case, I created a podcast around something I was frustrated by, which was the personal development industry, and created what I thought was a solution to that frustration. And I marketed it specifically within iTunes for the first couple of weeks. I actually didn't have my own website for it because I knew that trying to get people back to my website was a waste of time if they're in iTunes and they're just wanting to listen to podcasts. So I created a show specifically for that platform and only marketed it to the people in that platform. And that allowed me to gather enough people that were interested in what I had to say that now when I ask them to leave that platform, it's a lot easier to do so. So to shorten that a little bit, I would say figure out what it is you want to create from a content point of view. And that doesn't have to be related to whatever your side hustle is. It should actually probably be related to something you truly care about or something you're pissed off by. And find a place to put it that other people can find it and look for it. And in time, it'll happen.
I think I'm going to take note of that, take a mental note. Actually, I'll write it down. That's really good. You know, I want to build my audience to a larger audience too, because I want to reach out to, you know, as many people as possible, you know, and share the wisdoms of guests like yourself and, you know, my past guests. And, you know, I just want to spark something in these people for them to realize, you know, that they have an inner greatness in them and to unleash that and how to unleash that. And I really thank you and appreciate you for coming on the show and sharing your story, because, dude, man, you inspire me, man. 6 months, that's I'm amazed. I wish it was that fast for me, but I'm glad you came on the show. I took a lot of notes, mental notes, and I wrote some stuff down, and I hope all you guys did as well. How can everybody find you?
The number one thing you can do, you are already listening to this podcast. So if you just search for Tiny Leaps, Big Changes, or if you search my name, that'll pop up. And personally, I think the show is phenomenal, but I might be biased. So I would love to hear your opinion. And then anyone who wants to, you can also find me on Twitter. It's at Greg Clunas, and I respond to every single person. So just reach out and say hi.
Oh, yeah. And another one is in the books. So another great episode in the books, guys. Greg Clunas, young hustler. I love talking to young hustlers like that. I learn a lot from them. And man, we'll put some stuff in action for sure. So guys, I've been promoting this Undisputed Leadership Summit with myself and Alan Belcher, you know, for the past few weeks. So I want you guys to go to that. If you guys haven't heard the other episodes or seen any promotions off it, it's a free online event where I'll have over 18 speakers speak on the topic of leadership. And you guys know there's many components to that, to leadership. And this is all designed for you. So check it out, UndisputedLeadershipSummit.com. Go register. It's free. You don't have to buy a plane ticket. You don't have to buy a room accommodation ticket. And you don't have to buy an event ticket. This is all free. So you're getting all of this information from Alan Belcher, who's a six-figure entrepreneur, six-figure-a-month entrepreneur. Drew Manning from the A&E show Fit the Fat to Fit. And, you know, he's done very well for himself. You know, we got Louise Congdon as well, you know, a super podcast entrepreneur, and just a slew of others. We got Jim Harshaw, another mastermind, you know, another genius, a leadership genius, who runs masterminds as well. And Patrick Bet-David, super entrepreneur. You know, he's built a multi-million dollar financial service business, and they're all here to help you guys out. And it's all free. It's all free, guys. So go to UndisputedLeadershipSummit.com and get your free ticket. Reserve your free ticket. So then I can keep you updated on when the speakers are coming up and what they're going to speak about. And, you know, just keeping you informed, because this whole event here, you know, you could pay anywhere between $2,000 and $5,000 just to attend. This is all online and it's free. And these guys are, you know, there's no pitches. It's all content. So UndisputedLeadershipSummit.com. Get your free ticket and I'll see you guys there. Keep hustling.